I thought about this. Some of the older preachers, I heard them tell it, and I don't know, there's nothing irreverent about it, but they told about a preacher's meeting, and the preachers went in, and they just had a little fellowship, and they said, well, we ought to pray for one another. And I think the best thing we could do is ask, let each one tell us what your faults are. One fellow said, just to be honest, I can't keep my eyes off of looking at other men's wives. Another fellow said, well, he said, I have a tendency to lie every once in a while, get out of something that I shouldn't have done. Another said, well, you know, I like to play golf and things like that, and I take off sometimes, pretend that I'm sick on Wednesday night and get somebody to fill in for me. The other fellow sitting back real quiet, you know, didn't say anything. He said, what's your fault? He said, I'm the biggest gossip in town. And I can't wait to get out of here and tell what I've heard. Now, I haven't had any confessions, but I tell you, the Lord's blessed me here. And you men saying, we paid off our building. God's called me to another work. We've called a new pastor. Those are blessings because I pray for almost every one of you as pastors in your churches. Not once in a while, but every night as before I go to bed, I lift you up before the Lord. And I want to be able to pray in such a way that God will hear and answer our prayers. And then praying isn't just getting God or getting what we want from God, but I find in my life most of the time it's praying that puts me in submission to His will. And then I want you to turn with me, if you will, in the book of Luke, chapter 23 and verse 39 through 45. I'm at the point now that when I went to the pulpit a couple of weeks ago, I wrote down my scripture. I got the wrong chapter, and I asked them to turn over to the 26th chapter of the book of Luke. And I couldn't find that 23rd. And they begin to look. I can laugh about it. It's humorous. But it's a sad thing when it's a true fact and your mind doesn't work right. And I use notes also, and I don't want to lose the whole train. Somebody said that last night. I want to hold on to my thoughts, and the best way I can do it is to write them down and trust that this will be a blessing to you. But here's the cross words that were read here in Luke 23 and verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. And the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And what I want to think tonight, or this afternoon, is I want to speak on the subject of the sovereignty of God. Now, Brother Sinek, I believe it was, mentioned we don't want to scare them half to death about God, who He is and all. I hope today that I can scare you, if you're not right with the Lord, 99% into being half to death concerning the Lord. The Lord has to go ahead and do that part in it. But if I can bring you to that place where that you have a fear of God, and this man on the cross there, dost thou not fear God? And I find that in the ranks of preachers, I believe this is the thing that's happening to our Baptist churches. They've lost the fear of God. And it starts right here in the pulpits, not in this particular pulpit, and I don't believe in the churches here, but there may be some today that have lost their fear of God, and some churches say we don't need God, we can run it just as well without it. I believe when you come to that place, then that you are no longer a church. If you are a church, you're a church that is in error. And so we need to recognize this, I want to go back now, start in the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And I want to read there in 1 Chronicles 29, read verses 10 through 13. Now, I'm going to run over just a couple of minutes, but when I get right down to the end, I'm going to give you my outline, and you can go ahead and pick it up and preach it from there when you, if you want to preach it. But I want to read here in 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 10. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heavens and the earth that is thine. Thine is the kingdom and the glory, or kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name, but who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee, and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build the house of an house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand, and in all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart, and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things, and now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here to offer willingly unto thee. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our father, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the hearts of thy people, and prepare their hearts unto thee, and give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, thy statutes, and do all these things, and I build the palace for thee, which I have made provision. May God add his blessings on the reading of his word. I want to try to show you the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign in this world here. We speak about sovereignty of God, and many people, when they speak of sovereignty, they don't know what that is. They're speaking as if it were in an unknown tongue. It means that God is supreme, that he is unique. At the top, he's far above everything and everybody. He's King of Kings. He is God above all gods. All the gods that we read about that the people served in the various lands that Israel defeated, and they turned around and they defeated the children of Israel. He is the Most High God. Daniel says in the fourth chapter and verse 35, none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? We do. Why did this happen to me? Why did it happen that those children were killed in this last night or yesterday? Why, God? We don't ask God that. We accept it and pray, God, help us to receive these things and not fall out with you. We just don't understand it. But pray for God to give us grace to accept whatever God gives to us. Now, there's no one that can defeat God's counsel. What God has planned, what God has purposed, none of us can defeat it or stop it, nor can we turn his purpose, nor can we resist his will. And I told our people the other day, and I believe that I'm right in this, that God's will is not written down in the Word of God, the things that we would like for him to have written. Whenever I feel like it's time for me to buy a new car, I wish the Lord had put something in there that had given me information, what kind of car to buy, when to buy it, and the like of that. A house or something like that when we buy. God didn't do that, but he did tell us several things about his will. And what he has given us, we need to act on what his will is. Be willing to do what we know to do. And then we pray, and God gives us a sense there's something within us. This is the time in which that we're to do these things. And so none can defeat his counsel, none can defeat his purpose, and none can resist his will. God's will is going to be done, and our will is going to have to be changed to agree with His will. And the sooner we learn this, the better off we're going to be, and we're going to serve Him with His rules. You can't make up your own rules. We're making them up now when God inspired the Word of God to be written. He said it was wrong for two people of the same sex to be joined together. The Bible hasn't changed. And God said, made two people, Adam and Eve, put them in the midst of the earth, and I believe He brought them together as husband and wife. And He said to them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And you don't find two men or two women marrying and replenishing the earth. It's not that way. It doesn't say that. Now God says that He, in Psalms 115, He does what He pleases. We don't like it a lot of times, but the reason we don't like it is because our will is different from what He would have us to do. And then also He governs all nations. He governs the United States of America. And all you have to do is read your Bible, and when you find a nation that's doing what our nation is doing today, making laws that are contrary to the Word of God and saying, we will uphold you, but you preachers, you can't get on the radio or television and say these things without getting some repercussion from it. And the government will protect them instead of you. And so there's something wrong, and there's other things in this nation that's going on. And I don't believe that God's going to let us go on in this turning away from the Lord. We've come to the day that our preaching is something like where people say, poor God, poor little God, He can't do these things. Poor God's not able. Many churches of the world, they look at God as if that we better help Him out. And you know what they're doing? They're having yard sales. I don't have anything against yard sales. The churches don't have them. But I don't believe that it's right for us to have a pie supper, no fundraising thing, because when the children in the Old Testament, when they brought their tithes and offerings into the house of the Lord, when they're getting ready to build, He said, wait a minute, that's all. Don't bring any more. We've got more than enough. And when God's people will be honest with God, I believe that we'll not have missionaries saying, we'd like to do this, but we don't have the funds to do it. If our people would go ahead and give as we should, you bring a tithe that we owe unto the Lord and bring an offering above and beyond this, we wouldn't have these missionaries saying, well, we'd like to have a place to worship, but we just can't afford it. And so these things are going on, and the world's looking at that and say, well, your God's not able to provide for you. The reason that God's not providing is because He's got a bunch of thieves in His churches. They may not be members, but I believe that if you read Matthew 23:23, the lost person's responsible to bring their tithes into the storehouse of the Lord also. No, you don't? Some of you do. But He's talking to lost people. He said, these you ought to have done, tithe, mint, and rue, and cumin, and not left the others undone. Now, those weren't Christian people. Those were people that were lost Pharisees. And then God said that unto them. And so God today is not trying to save anybody. That's right. God's a sovereign God, and He'll save whom He will, whom He wants to, and He'll save whoever He wants to, when He wants to, and at the time He wants to. We don't have to ask for this. And so our God, we don't have to say, poor God. God said He can do what He wants. He can reveal Himself to those whom He has chosen before the foundation of the world. I don't believe there's any new name written down in glory. Good. Some people feel that God is disappointed in us. I don't think God's disappointed in anything, because He knew all things before the world ever began. The Son's not dissatisfied. The Holy Spirit is not defeated. No, He's not. He's doing everything that He purposed to do before He ever made this world or brought it into existence. God's not trying to save souls, and He can save and wherever it is and whoever it is. And He has all the power to save everyone. And in Jesus' prayer, He said, and those that You've given Me before the foundation of the world, or before I came into the world, every one of them saved. And there's a word there in the 15th or 17th verse, but Judas. Now, He's not saying, except Judas. You gave Me Judas and I lost him. No, Judas wasn't in that group. And go back to Matthew there, and after He gives the genealogy, and then He says, but, or now, the birth of Christ was on this wise. He was different from all of those before because Jesus didn't have an earthly father. Now the birth of Christ is on this way. The Holy Spirit came upon Mary and she was with child. So that's the same word or same meaning now and but. This is something different. And so God's able to save and He has the power to do it. And also, Satan is not defeating God, and whom he would, he can save whenever he wants to. He had this in mind. Turn with me, if you want to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, and in verses 3, and we read 3 through 5. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will." Now, verse 11, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will." He worked this thing out. He had it all planned even before. And so it's not something new. And God uses even the wickedness of men to praise the Lord. He uses this. These things, we look at wicked men, the things that they're doing. We say, well, God's not going to get any glory out of it. But over in the book of Psalm 76 and verse 10, He uses the wickedness of men to praise the Lord. You say, I don't know how He does. Well, I don't know either, but it's not my place to figure that out. God said it, that settled it. Even if I didn't believe it, that'd still settle it. It's the Word of God. And also that He says in the book of Jeremiah, He remembers, he shows favor to whom He will, and He takes care of us, and we are as the dust of the earth before the Lord. And then also, He can make one vessel to honor. He can make one to dishonor. He can use us. We're the Spirit of God works in us. And then as He does, He can bring for one for honor and one for dishonor. And God doesn't have to give an account to anyone. And I get home, my wife will say, well, how'd the meeting go? And I'll try my best to give an account and report all the things that you've told me and the blessing. I don't have to, but it's good that I do because she's a part of my life. She's my companion. And she's interested. She doesn't want me to come up here and run off to some entertainment place or something like that. I'm here in the house of God to worship and serve God. And I believe that's what we've come here. And then also, we can't stop the things of God. He does what He sees fit to do. And I want you to look at this. That Pharaoh tried to stop Israel. Tried to stop them from going out. And God sent 10 plagues upon them, but it took the 10. And on the 10th one, God struck their firstborn of man and then of beast. And Pharaoh said, get out of here. I've had enough of it. I don't want any more of it. God was in control of that. And then look also what He did in the city of Jericho. Whenever they marched around to the seventh day, the spies had gone in there and they'd made an agreement. And when the agreement was that you save our lives and we'll save yours. So He went back and they made an agreement. And she put the scarlet thread through the window. And when the walls of Jericho fell, every part of them fell except where those of her family, Rahab's family, was. Now, how'd that happen? Well, they put a better foundation under it. They were depending upon these people for their word. They'd promised that, and God recognized the promise that they'd made to them. Your life runs. God will take care of it. These other people, if you'd told them ahead of time, they said, I don't believe anything like that. But God took care, and He honored these things. And then also, we look what He did to the giant. Everybody there with David, you know what happened there. He came out. He came out in his own strength. And David said, you've defied the armies of the living God. I come in His name, and you come in your own strength. And he said, come over here, sonny. I'll feed your body to the birds. And David, no, this is not the way it's going to be. And he took the stone. He took up some stone. He took that sling. And I believe that he'd used it before, but he'd learned that skill. And it struck him where that it knocked him down, and he took the sword and Goliath and cut off his head. Now, that didn't just happen. Now, you say, well, he was a good marksman and all, but who prepared him? How did he get ready for that? God knew ahead of time what he was going to do in this. And then also, what about Daniel in the lion's den? You see, God's in control of that. He's in control of our life. We don't know whom God's going to save out here, but we are to be witnesses, and we are to witness the things, the truth of God's Word. And people say, well, I don't like that. But nevertheless, we've got a responsibility to teach them, to give them the truth, and the salvation is of the Lord. He's the one that does the saving. So the sovereign God is able to take care of this. And then also the three Hebrew children who were cast into the fiery furnace. Well, to be in the midst of the fire, it looks like that they would have been damaged more than those that were throwing them in, because all those that had part in casting them into the furnace, they were dead, but there was one that looked like the Son of God in there, and they came out of that, and there wasn't even the smell of smoke. You can't go into many restaurants or places, well, more now than you used to could, but you come out of there, and you come with a smell of smoke on you. See, God's in charge. God takes care of all of these things. And God has the right to do what He wants with His own in these things. Some of God's choice servants, they have trials and they have troubles, and God takes care of all of these. And so God says in the book of Isaiah 55, we're not to charge God foolishly with the things that He said that He's going to do. And so because God has chosen us, when we think about this, was God just in making Samson to be a great, strong man? God used that. But then after a while, He revealed His strength to Delilah, and she had a barber to come in, and she wasn't the first barber. She called for a man, and he cut off her hair. I've heard people say that she did that. No, first woman barber. In fact, I think I've read it in some books or stories, something like that, but that wasn't it. He lost his strength when he revealed these things here. And so God does as He pleases. And we remember that God doesn't deal with us with what we deserve. Over in the book of Romans in the 9th chapter, in verse 15, it says, "For He said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." And then in verse 18, "Therefore hath He mercy on whom He will have mercy, and whom He will He hardeneth." God can do that. God has a right to deal with us whatever way that He sees fit. And so God, in His kindness, He shows kindness to some people, and some people He hardens their heart. And so God loves whom He wants to. Now, I know that we hear this all the time. God loves everybody, but God hates the workers of iniquity. And so He doesn't love everybody, and we don't need to tell them that. Those that God loves, He saves and He brings to salvation. These that are enemies of His, He doesn't love them. And God is sovereign. He has a right to do what He wants to with those that are His. And everybody in this world, He has made them, and He's caused them to be able to breathe breath into their life. And so when He said, "Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated," God meant hate. Now, at one time, somebody tried to tell me that that means love less. But it means hate. Hate. I don't like what He is there. And so God hates all workers of iniquity, and God's free to love whom He wants to, whom He pleases there. And so according to the goodwill of His pleasure. And so we need to tell them, if you can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you can have eternal life. But go ahead and tell them the only way that you're going to believe is for God to bring the conviction to you by His Holy Spirit, and then you will believe. You say, "Oh, I don't like that." Well, that's the way God said, no man can come except the Father draw him. And so why tell them you can be saved and not believe on Him, or you can be saved if you do certain things? God is sovereign to exercise His grace whenever He wants to. We deserve hell. Justice demands that the law be enforced. And that's one of the problems in our nation today. We have laws, and they're not being enforced. Now you say, "Well, I blame the police department." Go up above that, and those that are in making the laws, put a penalty on it that it will be carried out. Most states for a long time did away with the death penalty. But now some of them's coming back to it, and they're those that are against it, why they're trying to fight those things. Each one receives what's due to them, neither more nor less. God's going to take care of that. And so justice shows no favoritism. He doesn't show any mercy. Now that's what happened to Jesus Christ. God the Father didn't look at Him and say, "You're my Son, and I'm not going to do everything that you needs to be done, because you're my Son. I want to be merciful to you." But when He went to the cross of Calvary, when He suffered, when He died, He wasn't paying for His sins. It was yours and mine. And those sins had to be paid for, and that's what Jesus did. He made a payment full and complete. There's nothing more to add to it. You don't have to be baptized. You don't have to join the church. You ought to if you're saved, but that doesn't. Church membership will take nobody to heaven. You must be born again. I think Brother Cynic said that today. And so grace is unearned. Grace is unmerited. It's a gift, and we have no right to question a gift. You know, a lot of times people give me gifts, and sometimes they don't fit. And they'll say, well, you can take them back if you want to. Well, if they don't fit, I will. But if I can wear them, I'm not going to say, well, I didn't like those blue socks you got to go with my brown suit. Well, that don't matter to me. I keep my feet in my shoes and don't wear the inside of my shoes out like that. Brother Harvey tries to keep me in line sometimes and show me what I ought to get. No, but nevertheless, a gift is from God, eternal life. And don't tell him when to do it or how to do it. He'll do it in his own way. It's a gift, and you don't boast about it. You don't accept it and say, well, I deserve that, and I've got it now, and so I'm real thankful for it. Well, we ought to be thankful for it and appreciate it, but we find that God gave Abraham a son by the name of Ishmael. And God said, that's not the promised child. It's not through him. Did you hear what I said? Abraham and Sarah are going to have a child. That makes a miracle child because Sarah was beyond the age of bearing children. Our God is sovereign, and he can do that when he wants to. Now, it'd seem funny if you elderly women, you middle-aged women, 60 and 70, come in here next year and carrying a child. It's not going to happen, but if God purposed it, he could do it. You see, I'm trying to show you God is sovereign. And so he shows no favoritism, no blessing. He blesses whom he wants to, and we don't deserve it, and we're not worthy. We can't get any more than what God is willing to give us. And also, we want to look at this. God was sovereign in the creation. And even before this world began, in eternity, God was sovereign. He created everything in his own way and in his own time, according to his good pleasure. He created two people. He brought made Adam out of the dust, and he took a rib out of Adam and made Eve and made a woman out of her and brought her, and Adam called her woman because she was taken out of him. Well, you know, God could have made 2 million people and put on the earth at the same time. But he chose to make two people, and it's through them, and we're all the descendants of Adam, every one of us. And God didn't discuss things with anybody when he made them. He made it so that the world, and we're in here, there's what they call a centrifugal force that pushes us out from the center of the earth. There's gravity that pulls us in, and he made it so that we need both of them so we can walk upright. If gravity would cease, we'd fly off into space. If centrifugal force failed, we'd be laying flat on the earth. That's what they taught me in school, and I know that a lot of times when things happen, that it works that way. You fall down, you don't fall up. Never seen anybody. And God was just and way in making the moon and the stars and putting all of them in place where that he wanted them. And you talk about more stars being out here in space. They've been there all the time. They're not new ones. You've just been able to see them because we've made telescopes and all that they come. And when they've only been brought through the galaxy out here and where that our earth, wherever it's turned in space, we've been brought where we can look at it and we can see it. But it's been there all the time. And God has created all things for his glory. Everything is here. He wanted it this way. He made the earth, which is, if I remember correctly, about two-thirds water. It's covered by water, about two-thirds of it. And the rest of it is ground. And God was sovereign. He could do it that way. And then also, there's some places that we look at it, and it's very dry. Other places, it's very wet. They have maybe 60 or 80 inches of rainfall. There's other places that are frozen up, and they stay frozen all the time. Other places that it's hot and dry. God made it that way because he wanted to. And then also, he had a purpose in the animal kingdom. The way that he made it, he made the elephant, and he made the little mouse that runs on the ground. He made it that way. And he made the horses, and he made the dogs. He made the sheep. He made the hogs. He made all of these. Some of them have to work, and some of them never toil. They never spin. They just go around and eat whatever's out here, and God feeds them and takes care of them. And so God is able. And so some are made beautiful. Some things are made ugly. Some things that you look at, they're strong, and there's some that are weak. some that we look at that can travel many miles an hour. And the TARDIS, he just goes along slowly. God made all of these, and he gave them a purpose in being here. And so God made all of these things in the book of Genesis, and he said it was good. And then he made man, and he said it was very good. Put us here on the earth. God gave us this place, and we're to be rulers over that. And then also even the vegetable kingdom. God is sovereign over this. Some plants have thorns on them. And if you pick the blackberries and get in there, those thorns will stick you. And some of them don't have any thorns. There's some also that we look at. We've got some rose bushes in our yard. Some of them bloom every month. Some of them only bloom once a year. Isn't that strange? Is that fair? That's the way God made it. That's the way He wanted it. He had a purpose. And so whatsoever God doeth, whatever He's pleased with, that's exactly what He's doing. And so we're thankful for this. And God is sovereign. He has a right to do it. He made the angels, and also He made us as human beings. He hath done, Psalms 115 says, He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. Now, if God is sovereign in creation, bringing us into the world, doesn't God have a right to do with His creation as He wants to? Yeah. Now, we have some things that we possess that we can't do what we want to. Down home there, I'm not allowed to burn tires in my backyard. They belong to me, and I paid for them, and I wore them out, and I want to get rid of them. But the garbage man won't take them. We've got to take them to a special place and pay so much, and they'll take them away. Unless you're taking, you know, when you trade it in, well, they'll charge you $2 or $3 to get rid of them. They're ours, and they belong to us. But you see, God made this whole world, and He has a right to do with us whatsoever He chose. And there's some people that God has given talent to, and there's others, you've heard the expression, they can't carry a tune in a bucket. Yeah, but some can sing beautiful. They're able to carry a tune and go through all of this. Some people are intelligent. They're geniuses. And some never can think for themselves. We've had some in our families, in my wife's family, and in my family, cousins and an aunt, and they didn't know enough to scare the flies away from their face. And they lived 39 years. One of them did, and one of them 34, 35. And they had to change them like a baby, their diapers, things like that. You say, oh, it wouldn't have been a blessing if they could have just died earlier. But you know, when those mothers had to give up that child at 34 and 35 and 38 years of age, their heart was grieved because they'd spent more time with that child than the other five or six that were able to be out here playing. I don't know why He did it, but God had a purpose, and He's sovereign, and He can do what He wants to with this. And also He can perform His own pleasure. Proverbs 16 and 4, the Lord hath made all things for Himself, even the wicked, for the day of evil. These wicked people, these things that are going on today, God has a right to do with them as He sees fit. And so God can take those that rebel against Him. People criticize God. And I tell you, I believe that it's wrong. I believe that it's sin to criticize what God has made, what God has put here on the earth. A lot of times the dandelions, we wish they wouldn't come up, but they're there for a purpose. It may be just to test our faith, Brother Tweed. See how we're going to respond to them. You get through and you say, boy, the yard looks real good. And you spray it. My neighbor treated his yard last year, and for a while it just looked beautiful. But my blooms went over there. They both look alike. See, he didn't say anything. He didn't get mad at me. God had a right to do what He wanted to. Look at puny man. You. 1, 2, 3, 4 out of 6 billion people living on the earth, and you couldn't do anything if God withdrew that spirit from your body. And He's doing that every day. Thousands of people are dying. Last week there were 6,000, I believe, over in one of those countries. They took them up to the border and was going to release them over the other side. Keep them overnight. Don't send them across there tonight. And they went to send them over the next morning. Couldn't find them anywhere. They all had souls. They had bodies. They had spirit. But you couldn't even find the body. What happened to them? I don't know, but I know that if they were killed, God took their spirit, every one of them, and took them out to meet the Lord. And if they were believers, they've gone to be with Him. But if they're not, they're in torments in the same way I believe that the rich man in the book of Luke was. and they're going to suffer. We today grumble and complain because we don't have what we want. God's in control and ruling this universe. The natural things here, the tornadoes. They've been hitting our country for the last few years, and they're sweeping through places that they've never hit. Just about a quarter of a mile from our house a few years back, our high school gym fell in. One of the bus drivers, she said, I had the handicapped children in there, their wheelchairs, some of them, and she said, the bricks were flying and hitting. He said, all I could do is to encourage them to stoop down or lay down just as low as they could. Couldn't do anything at all about it. But you know, God controls the weather also. God knows exactly what He's doing. The hurricanes that hit. We had a family that were down in the islands, the biggest hurricane that hit down in there. They were money people. They could do whatever they wanted to, just about anything as far as money could be concerned. But they got down there, and they couldn't even get a drink of water. She couldn't even get water to wash her clothes and change clothes and keep herself clean for 2 or 3 days until somebody got in there and helped them. God had control of that. And when He takes some things away that we've just taken for granted. I told somebody yesterday, last night, anyway, when I'd go to the bathroom and I'd look down in the commode, and there was that beautiful, clear water. And I think of people over here on the other side of the world, they'd say, if we could just get a cup of water. Here we use it time after time during the day, and we flush it down. And if it gets stopped up, you have to call Roto-Rooter and say, come, help me out and get this all taken care of. God is sovereign, and God rules, and He does what He wants to. And He destroyed those, the followers of Kor, and destroyed. He just opened the earth, and the earth closed them up in there. God is in control, and He knows what to do. And also, God is in control of irrational creation, the animals and all that are here. This has been on my mind. I think about when they went into the ark. They went in there two by two. Now, Noah didn't go out and round them up and drive them in, but the Lord brought them in. The clean ones, they went in, a male and seven of the females, and the others, the unclean, they went in two by two. How did they know to come there? Well, it's animal instinct. I believe God gave them the instinct. And I think about the cows that they had calves, and they put the ark on the cart, and they said, now which way will it go? And you know, they went right off and left their young. Now, that doesn't happen every day, but God's sovereign, and He can control all of these things. That's the God that we serve, and He's able to do with us what He sees fit to do. God caused the ravens to come and feed Elijah. He did that. And also, He sealed the mouth of the lions when Daniel was cast into the den of lions. And the old king, he didn't sleep, but I believe Daniel, he slept all right, and he came early in the morning and said, is your God able to save you? I believe he could say, well, sure, why wouldn't he? I'm under His control. I'm one of His own. And we today, we get in places that we wonder if we're going to live through them. And God's in control, and He can take care of us. But He can also take us out into eternity if He wants to, sitting in our own living room. So we don't have to be any place to get even there. And I think about the fish, you know, that said, should we pay taxes? Your master pay taxes? And he said, well, sure. And he said, here, Peter, go out here and go fish. And he caught a fish, and there was a coin in there, and he said, go and pay our taxes. Now, where'd that come from? Somebody just dropped it over the side of a boat? No, he wasn't lucky. God knew exactly what he was doing. Somebody had made that coin, and some way that fish got in him there, and he took that and he paid the taxes. I'm telling you, God is sovereign. He can do what he wants to. And he can take and put a bomb in this building before the service is over and kill every one of us. You say, oh me, I hate to think of that. Well, they did the early Christians. They met in a red where they went into a barn, and the people that hated them and didn't want them, they bought brush around there and poured gasoline or oil on it and set it on fire. And those people sat in there and sang praises unto God till they all died. See, you and I think, well, we're serving God. That's going to exempt us from the hand of God being on us. But if you read how many times Israel, they turned away from God, and God took those that believed in Him. They didn't all turn, I'm sure. They weren't satisfied doing what the governor or the king had said to do. But God took the believers with the non-believers. And He does that even today. He takes your children and my children. He takes them out, and He has control of this. He governs men. He rules everything here. God is in control. Paul says, in Him we live and move and have our being. God controls, the scripture says in Proverbs 21:1, God controls the hearts of kings, and God is in complete charge. And so we need to recognize We're not just here without a purpose. We're here, God is sovereign and God is ruling us. In salvation, man is just as a clay. And he's put a spirit within us. He's already decided our destiny, where we're going when we leave here. He brought us to the place we'd hear the gospel, put us to the place that we could believe on him. And as many as were ordained into eternal life, we believed. There won't be any more, there won't be any less. And God is just in what he is doing. And so we need to be careful when we begin to fall out with God, because one of these days we're going to meet him face to face. And what we need to do is to be faithful in what he's called us to do. And I'm thankful to God that some of these young boys that run around here and act like kids, and they were the preachers and deacons' kids and some of the members, that God saved them and put a call in their heart. A woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. You know, I fear God. I'm not afraid to go to him like I did to my dad. I could go to him and say, "Dad, I've done this or I've done that." And he forgave me. Or he whipped me. Well, he never did whip me, but he corrected me. And I can go to my Heavenly Father. When I get out here and do something and I'm not willing to come, sometimes God chastens. Well, he does all of it. Or Hebrews 12 says, whom he loves, he chastens. And he deals with us. And I tell you, these preachers that are turning away from God, we need to recognize that we'd better turn back to God, because God's not going to show mercy to these who know the truth and will not live it. God is a just God, and I hope that you have a godly fear of him.